Hey everyone, and welcome. This is Yannick Silver, and we have another Maverick Business Insider interview, and I'm really excited to have one of our Maverick 1000 members, Gary Nealon, on. Gary is, he's got, you know, somewhat of a unique story. We'll let him talk about it, but losing several million dollars on his first business, now having a successful cabinet store, not a bricks and mortar cabinet store, but an online cabinet store, which sounds like a very weird, unusual thing that you could try and sell online. And then we're going to get him to talk about some of the community building things that he does. And of course, you may have seen Gary possibly even on, HGTV, on Home and Garden TV, where his cabinets are a regular fixture on some of the shows there. So welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited to kind of jump in here, and I think this will be a little bit of a different interview for a lot of people listening to this. Get people a different spin on how to do things, and that there's not just one model that works online. But maybe you can start with just a thumbnail on your background and some of your business experiences there.
Sure. I mean, My main background was marketing and information systems, but somehow I ended up in logistics for many years. And after working with some of the top 500 companies in transportation and logistics, I thought, hey, it's probably something I could do for myself. So spent a couple years researching a business, found the right one that I thought, and within roughly a year, I was bankrupt. Not many people can say that, but I actually. Within a year of being in business, we ended up burning through about $2 million and ended up bankrupt. That's the downside of my crash course in the business. I thought I did everything right, I guess I didn't really do right. But it was one heck of a learning curve.
And what was that first business, Gary?
It was actually a brick and mortar business. It was importing products for the dollar store industry.
Uh-huh.
At the time, it was a booming industry. Of course, right after we took it over is when the cost of plastics went through the roof and petroleum and everything else. So it basically, what the profit margins on it cut in half, and it just drove the business right to the ground.
And so this was importing what, from China?
Yeah, it was importing from China, importing just about everything that you found in a dollar store. So I always thought, the way to go for business was to find something that was successful and just build upon it. And then I learned about the whole internet marketing aspect of it, and that's kind of what got me to the business that I have today.
Well, I think there's probably a couple lessons in there too that would be really interesting for people. So within 1 year, right? You guys burned through $2 million.
Yeah, we bought the business for, I think it was $1.5 million.
Okay,
and then
so
we had, line of credit for inventory and everything else.
Uh-huh.
It was about a year. We had, I thought I did my due diligence, spent 2 years researching it, had accountants, lawyers, everybody looking over the books to make sure that, it was a viable option. And, you can never predict the future with something like that. So it kind of spun me for a loop there right after it happened. But, I saw what some of my friends were doing on the internet, and just decided to learn from take some knowledge from them and then apply it to something that I already knew.
So that's where was that turning point that you're like, well, maybe, instead of going out and getting another job or saying, okay, well, obviously business doesn't work for me. What was that?
Yeah,
mental switch.
I guess that's one of the things of being an entrepreneur is you always have that gut instinct that you don't want to work for somebody else. And even though that the first business kind of went down the hill, I was like, I went back. I was a director of sales in logistics, so I went back to that working out of my house and doing logistics. But I always knew that there was something for me to do on my own. So I just kept that, and I just kept researching and reading about different things. Mike Urie was a big help for that. I went to college with him, and he really showed me everything that he was doing. And I was able to take what he was doing with a virtual product and then apply it to a physical product. So that's kind of what spun us into this business.
Okay. Yeah. So the first internet venture, was it with cabinets?
Yeah. We had a connection with China. one of my friend's uncles, long story short, was importing other stuff. So he had a connection with a factory, which put us in touch with this. I kind of researched the industry and found out that while there's other cabinet manufacturers that were online, none of them really knew what they were doing, based on the knowledge that I had. So I saw it was an industry that I thought I could penetrate pretty quickly and also be able to offer a product a little bit cheaper than what other people could. So, within a year we were up in the top five for, at least five out of the categories that we were targeting, started seeing traffic, and I just started doing a lot of SEO to drive the site up.
Okay. Well, let's take it from the beginning. So I think that'll be interesting. So you had the connection, you had the cabinets, so you knew you had your product, did some research there, found other people that were selling it. So obviously there's a marketplace for it. And I don't know. I mean, for me, cabinets seems like, God, what a crazy thing to try and sell online. It's a big, bulky,
That's kind of how I looked at it. I'm like, when I first thought about it, I'm like, who is actually buying cabinets online? Like, it just seems like such an odd thing. For me, I'd want to see them. I want to touch them. It's a fairly expensive investment. And to be able to do that over the internet, I guess there's got to be a trust factor with the company. So that was my biggest hurdle just in the thought process was, who's actually going to be buying these things? But it's right around that time where, HGTV and DIY Network and everything really started taking off, where all these home improvement shows were kicking up. And, people were starting to get interested in it. They realized that they didn't have to, spend $50,000, $60,000 on a kitchen. They can actually do some of this stuff themselves. So I think that little spike in getting into the market at that time was one of the things that helped us out as well.
And then did you have any thoughts like Zappos, who, we've had Tony Hsieh from Zappos a couple times at the Underground as a keynote, and, one of the things he always talked about was when they were selling shoes that, they started thinking about, okay, the biggest objection to selling shoes online was that, is it going to fit or not? And so that's when they added that free shipping back and forth and kind of almost recommended for people to get multiple sizes so they could ship them back and forth. Was there anything that you thought about from the, just the product, just the way that the cabinet product would be online? And was there anything?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest obstacle that I saw was, are people going to be able to do this themselves? You get a lot of, I don't know if you're watching any of the home, like I just do any of the projects that they're talking about, but it's breaking it down to a point where it's understandable and where people are comfortable with it. I think that was the biggest objection that we got at first was like, can I really do this? Are they really that simple? So, just through article marketing and even some of the video marketing, just creating, informational products that we can give them to show them, this is really something that's easy that you can do, that you don't need to pay somebody else to do. So it's that's kind of been our angle on a lot of the homeowners that we target. And then we obviously work with contractors and home builders, and that's a little bit different sell. But for the actual home improvement market, that's what we try to do, is just educate all the homeowners that they can do this themselves. It's not hard to do, and they can get the same look that they would if they paid somebody to do it.
And so that's part of, do they get like more, just more information when they buy a cabinet, or all that information is free and you're just using that as a lead generator to?
Yeah, I mean, everything's free. We try to use it as lead generation. We also, in our autoresponders, if somebody doesn't through the shopping cart, if they back out of the shopping cart, or, our sales cycle is a little bit different than a virtual product. I mean, it could be 30 to up to almost 120 days. So, from the time that somebody comes to our site, we just want to keep feeding them information about, whatever obstacles they may have in their head about buying them. We try to eliminate that through the email process and keep that information flowing to them.
You're okay if we mention what site it is for people there at home?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's RTA Cabinets, so like so ready to assemble, so RTA. cabinetstore.com, and they can check out what you have going on there. All right, so when you first had this idea, put your site up, what was the first way that you started driving traffic or trying to see if this was going to work or not or be a viable business?
I mean, up until probably a couple months ago, everything's been organic. I really started doing a lot of article marketing, press releases. At that time, I wasn't really familiar with video marketing, so I wasn't doing any of that, but it was almost all through, you know, article marketing links, and just started targeting specific sites that I knew had traffic that would be interested in it, you know, all the home improvement websites. And the one thing that, I mean, if I have to look back at it now, that really kind of drove our sales and keeps it driving is the home improvement shows. You know, we got ended up through press releases and just through some of the articles I was writing, we got contacted by one of the producers. I think it was going back 2 years ago now, it was the first show that we did. And they really liked the information that we were giving out. And, you know, it was a product that they could work with and fit into their production schedule. So we did the first show, and it took off like wildfire. The producers started spreading the word to other shows and, you know, really started networking within the TV world for home improvement. So we've done, I want to say over the past 2 years, we've probably done about 30 episodes for 5 or 6 different shows. So it's, you know, it's interesting to watch. Every time one of the shows air, we have a spike in sales for that particular product line. So just being able to network and get into a different type of marketing outside of internet marketing or, you know, mail, mass mail or anything like that, it's been an interesting process.
Yeah, and then so the way you got that originally was just sending out press releases to magazines?
I was actually doing produce. Online press releases, just you know, targeting the keywords for the press releases that that I thought people would be searching for.
Okay.
I was doing 2 a week, I think, at that point, just sending out all kind of updates about, you know, what we were doing, how we were growing, and, you know, the product and everything else that we were offering, and it got picked up by one of the producers.
Got it. So what's your favorite tool for keyword research or figuring out what your keywords are?
I still use the Google tool. I'm actually in the process of having something built into our website that'll start pulling keywords for me and actually monitoring traffic on them. But I still use that. I think it's, you know, it's not 100% the best. I think it still gives me, you know, pretty accurate information, and even just
inside their,
you know,
AdWords.
Yeah, inside their AdWords. And it, you know, even our competitors now have gotten a little bit more internet savvy since we started. A lot of them have been, you know, kind of taking some of the things that we've been doing. But I'm in an interesting position where we're competing with like Home Depot and Lowe's. So
right.
It's interesting to watch them and see what kind of things they're doing. And it's almost like a back and forth between who gets to do something first. So. I'm competing with these basically billion-dollar companies, and they don't realize that, you know, we're still basically a mom-and-pop operation, you know, operating on a lower scale than they are, but we're competing with them on the internet.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it so exciting, right, is that you got kind of equal footing. I mean, obviously, you don't have the retail exposure that they have, but online, you have that opportunity to come across as the better option because your product costs are probably lower than what they got there, and you can provide better
information. Yeah, I mean, we end up, it's amazing if I could just keep spreading the word. I mean, the amount of people that don't realize that it's about 40 to 50% cheaper to buy something from us than it is to go to one of the big stores. So, it's pretty interesting to watch people when they realize how much money they could be saving. They're like, holy cow, you know, like that's a huge saving. So
right.
even though they're spending a lot of money with us, just the amount of money that they're saving is just, you know, it's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, that's fascinating. So you never did any sort of pay-per-click or anything like that to get people in the door originally?
No, originally it was all organic. We started doing pay-per-click now, but we're starting out actually with some retargeting. And just some geo-targeting instead of going straight for the search traffic and even or the content traffic. I'm trying to go for the fringe stuff first and figure out what works, because the hardest thing I've found with our sales cycle is tracking it. You know, you can run ads for 3 months and some of those sales aren't coming through for 3 months. So it's not like an instantaneous transaction like you would have with a virtual product where you can, you know, you run an ad today, odds are you're either getting a sale today or tomorrow. It's a much longer process.
Have you figured out anything or any tool that you think is helpful there?
No, I'm still working on that, and I'm I've actually tapped some resources within Mavericks to figure out, you know, what the best avenue is for some of this stuff. And, you know, we're just in the beginning stages of figuring that out, but it's been, you know, pretty interesting and productive so far.